بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. My brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You know, my brothers and sisters, if I were to ask you one question, what do you think affects the heart the most? What do you think affects our heart the most out of all the things that we do? Zikr? Not praying? I want you to think about, where is the moment where the heart is the most honest?
When you're in pain.
In pain? No. No.
With your friends?
That's desperate. That's actually the opposite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there are those, in the Quran, says there are those who forget Allah when they're in good health. And when they're in pain and in sickness, that's when they remember Allah. I mean, Allah is still there for them. But that's not the sign of an honest heart. Or can I say the reality of a person? When is the time?
Alone when it's by
himself. Yes, when they're alone by himself. When you are alone by yourself. That, if you want to know yourself, the level of your iman, who you are, what pathway you're taking, where your stance will be on the Day of Judgment, what kind of a person you really are, right now, then measure yourself when you are alone. Measure yourself when you have this in your hand, your phone. That's when you know who you really are. And a person who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the type of person that you should be hanging around with. He is the man you should marry. She is the woman you should marry. But of course they fear Allah truly. And you try to find out as much as you can. Ask about them and so on. But the point is, we're not here to talk about how to find that person. We're talking about making that the goal. Because a man and a woman who fear Allah will not be bothered if they are being watched in public or whether they are alone in private. They will fear Allah in public and in private. But we all sin. We're all weak. And when we are alone in private, we do get weak and we sometimes slip and falter. If Adam alayhi salam and Hawa faltered when they were in paradise and Allah left them for a while, they faltered and slipped. We will slip also. But that's not what we are talking about here. Allah does not expect perfection from anybody. But it's those people who will only be righteous and good when they are being watched by others in order to put on a facade. And when they are alone, they can't wait for that moment to come in order to penetrate all the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with no hesitation, no regret, no repentance, like as if it's just a flowing river. In fact, some people, they look at it as very normal, natural thing to penetrate the boundaries, sin all you like, do all the haram if nobody is watching you. Some people go a further step. In order to make themselves feel better, if they feel the guilt of doing the wrong thing when they're alone, not being watched, then they'll grab for themselves a bunch of people or a group or some kind of social network. And they say, I've got nothing to hide. And so they expose who they really are in secret because they can't bear to hold on to the guilt. What have you actually done here? You think you've done something good for yourself. But what you've actually done is now you've just topped the cake. You've accepted yourself in the true nature of an immoral person. Now it's in open. But the shaitan comes to you and says to you, at least you do it in front of people. But that's the shaitan playing tricks on you. He's sealed your fate. And that's probably why you've heard a lot and questioned, why does Islam emphasize that we keep our sins Secret, not exposed. It's not because you're a hypocrite. It's not because something's... Not because Allah wants you to continue in your sin and hide it. But first of all, people don't forgive your sins. They're not the people. People have no business. You don't turn to people. It's as if you're saying, I've got to confess who I really am to the public. Who is the public? Did the public create you? We are all here for the same test. I'm talking to Muslims here, of course. Non-Muslims who are listening may or may not understand what I'm saying, but obviously this is a lecture to Muslims, but non-Muslims can hear and try to learn and ask, inshallah. But for us as Muslims, we don't confess to the public. Who are they? The ones that we have to own up to is one. He is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, if there is something that we're doing in secret that's going to harm others, then we better stop it. Or we better tell them before they are harmed. That's a different story, rights of people. We're talking about yourself. The boundaries which Allah had forbidden. So a person who fears Allah with their wife or their husband behind closed doors, they are still fearing of Allah. They give their spouses their rights. They will fix if they ruined, they will apologize if they have hurt, they will make up what they have done wrong, they will treat their children as a trust, they'll treat their spouse as a trust, they'll treat their parents as a trust. Such a person who knows that Allah is watching them in private just as much as in public has a lesser risk of faltering all the time. And if they feel guilty, they are less likely to continue for a very long time in what they're doing. And if they do, they will increase in good deeds. They will continue to ask Allah to forgive them, even if they relapse. But they will never allow themselves to be comfortable with doing the wrong in private. If you wanna kill your heart, then allow the sins to be justified and let them enter your heart. Let them define you now. If you want to kill your heart, continue to be alone and do private haram all the time. This is how you will surely kill your heart, kill your personality, kill your mental state and your health. And what a topic this is, hidden camera. If I told you that there was a hidden camera in your bedroom at night, all night, and it's connected to your parents' house and they can see you but you don't know, or it's connected, if you're a man, to your wife's phone and she can see everything all night, all day, or your husband's phone, or your children, or your workplace, or the authorities. Imagine you were being watched, and then you found out that there is a hidden camera. Wouldn't your actions change? I say this to our students when we're teaching at school. Say, when you misbehave, imagine that camera in the corner. Imagine that's connected to your parents' house. Would you act the same way? They said, oh no, not my parents. Obviously, we change our habits and behavior when people are watching. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly tells us as Muslims that He is always watching, in secret and in open. Allah says, يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا وَمَا يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. He knows all that enters the earth and all that comes forth from it, and all that comes down from the heaven and all that goes up to it. He is with you wherever you are. Allah sees all that you do. If that's not enough, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
يستخفون من الناس ولا يستخفون من الله وهو معهم إذ يبيتون ما لا يرضى من القول وكان الله بما يعملون محيطا.
Allah says in Surah 4, verse 108, they can hide their deeds from men, from people, but they cannot hide them from Allah, for He is with them even when they hold nightly counsels that are displeasing to Allah. Allah encompasses all their doings. It's strange. It's ironical how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the night. Because most often, even from those days, 1400 something years ago, most of the sins and the immoralities and the haram that's done is usually at night. Because night kind of encompasses us and you're seen less. So Allah points to that and picks at it, and it just makes it face you. What do you do at night when you go to bed? What do you look at? What do you converse? Who do you chat with? What are you watching? What? And that's the social media world that, inshallah, in this talk we're going to talk about as well. Because that's the topical topic when it comes to this very important topic about Allah's hidden camera, Allah's watchfulness. And I don't think there's a more important time than this time worthy of this topic. Because in the past, not everybody had access to everything that we see and watch now. And people are of different personalities. There were introverts and extroverts. There are people who could look at you, who could talk and converse face to face. The introverts had to do things quietly. But now there is a place for them on these devices. Every single individual has now got the power to look, watch, say, write anything they want. What a test. And it's become almost impossible to stop the haram from happening online. So let's talk a little bit more about it, inshallah. We all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us in secret and in open. And on top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us, whether you are two people, He is your third. Whether you are three people, He is your fourth. No secret and no open, except that He is there and He knows. Meaning Allah knows with His knowledge, His seeing, His hearing, and everything is being written. Every single scroll, every single post, every single letter, every single sound that you and I spend or do on this device is written. It's recorded, and it will be exposed on the day of judgment, if not in this life. But that's not all doom and bloom, yani. We can use it for good. So let's use it for good, and let's repent from the bad, and let's increase in our good deeds to wipe it away. Hudhayfa, Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, was a young boy. He was about 14-15 when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Ya Rasulullah, give me advice." He said, "Ittaqi Allah haythu ma kunt." Fear Allah wherever you are. Not just in the mosque, not just in front of, you know, people, wherever you are. Wa atbi'is sayyi'ata alhasanata tamhuha. Follow up every bad deed that you do with a good deed, it will wipe it away. So if I'm stuck with a bad deed and I keep it between me and Allah and I feel guilty about it, I don't really want to do it, but I'm weakened for this one or two sins. The first place to start, let me follow up my bad deeds with good deeds. Don't let that heart give in. You've got to still protect it, brothers and sisters. Once it's dead, it's gone. It's hard to wake it up. My brothers and sisters, then he said to him, وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ, and live with people on good character. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us in the Quran about who else is there watching other than him. Did you know that also there are angels which Allah created who are always with you wherever you go? We all know about the one on the right and left. This is the Muslim belief, and other certain religions believe in that. But it's in the Quran, and one of the pillars of believing in Islam and Allah is to believe that he created angels, and with missions and with purpose and with duties, we believe in them, the unseen. Allah says in Surah Ar-Ra'd, verse 10 and 11,
سَوَاءٌ مِّنْكُمْ مَنْ أَسَرَّ الْقَوْلَ وَمَنْ جَهَرَ بِهِ وَمَنْ هُوَ مُسْتَخْفٍ بِاللَّيْلِ وَسَارِبٌ بِالنَّهَارِ له معقبات من بين يديه ومن خلفه يحفظونه من أمر الله.
Allah says, it is all the same for him whether any of you says a thing secretly or says it loudly, and whether one hides oneself in the darkness of the night or struts about in broad daylight. There are guardians over everyone, both before him and behind him, who guard him by Allah's command. These guardians, as all the scholars unanimously agreed, they are the angels. What else are they going to be? Aliens? Ghosts? They're the angels. The shaitan, not the shaitan, the angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them. And throughout the Quran, throughout the ahadith, we know they are the angels. They guard you, but they also guard your deeds. They also write your deeds. They witness to your deeds, good and bad deeds. Can you imagine? You're going to sleep, these angels are watching right over your screen. Can you imagine this screen? And if you were to look at some people, what they look like at night, with the lights turned off and their blankets are on, and this big blue screen or white screen in their face. You know what? Take a picture of yourself sometime. If you're looking like this, just take a picture, just right there. Don't pose, just take a picture really quickly. Trick yourself. And then have a look at it in the daytime. Anyone seen themselves like that? Do it tonight. But don't spend too much time on social media. I'm going to give you some hacks to it. Give you just take a little quickly a quick screenshot of yourself. Wallahi, we look like zombies. Zombies, the shaitan looks better than us. Have you seen ourselves? Have you seen what we look like? One brother is married. He said to me, "Brother, my wife was addicted to the social media. I'm sleeping, I wake up, she's on her phone. I went to sleep, she's on." I'm not picking on the sisters. It's a true story. The brother never had any social media, right? He never used to be used to it. Because I looked at her and I said, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim." So what's wrong? I goes, she scared me? I don't know. She looked at me. Same goes with the husband, Danny. Sometimes the shaytan says, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim," by what we look like. My brothers and sisters, therefore, these are unnatural habits which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us, "I'm watching you. The angels are there." For what purpose? To help us look after ourselves. Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, "I'm watching you," to scare you? Do you think Allah is telling you the angels are there because I'm going to get you? Do you think Allah wants to punish us? Allah does not want to punish anybody. What does Allah want? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that we have choice, we have freedom, we are not robots, but at the same time we have desires. It is through desires that we know right from wrong, those who help from those who need help, those who help to heal from those who get sick, those who give their assistance to those who are not. All because we have to have those desires in order for all these beautiful, amazing things to be manifested. It's not there so that we can do the wrong thing, but rather to separate the good from the bad, the righteous from the non-righteous, those who deserve it from those who don't. Do you think paradise is for free? Do you think paradise, everybody just goes to paradise just by saying, "I believe in Allah, yeah, I'm a good person"? What does good person mean? The drug addict says, "I'm a good person, I don't harm kids." The pedophile says, "I'm a good person." The person who kills thousands of lives says, "I'm a good person." Look at the Zionists, what they're doing to the Palestinians. They think they're doing God's work. Hitler thought he was a good person by what he was doing. Fir'aun thought he was a good person by enslaving the children of Israel. We all justify our goodness. The husband and wife disagree or conflict and they get divorced, and each one thinks they're doing good. They have a right. Everybody thinks they're good. But let us look into ourselves. Allah doesn't want us to look at others. He wants us to look at ourselves. That's why He says, I'm looking at you. The angels are there. You don't believe it? Of course you believe it, alhamdulillah. That's the first step. Allah loves it that you believe that. Number two, the next step, to keep yourself in check. For who? For yourself. We have to have that. We have to. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran, why? Why He puts these boundaries upon us? Why He tells us these things? A human needs hope and fear at the same time, like two wings that we fly with, hope and fear. When something bad is ahead of us, we remember hellfire. We remember Allah. So we stay away from it as much as we can. If we do it, we repent. We see a good deed, an opportunity, we go for it. We see paradise in front of us. Allah wants to lessen the burdens off us. That's what Allah says. He says,
وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ أَن تَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا. يريد الله أن يخفف عنكم وخلق الإنسان ضعيفا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us, and Allah indeed wants to turn graciously towards you, but those who follow their lusts would want you to drift far away from the right way. Those who follow their lusts, they want you to drift far away from the right way. Allah wants to lighten your burdens. Allah wants to lighten your burdens. For man was created weak. Allah doesn't want to burden us. He wants to take it off. Through these ways, when you start to remember Allah's watchful eyes, then it should wake up and help you. Not let you justify your actions and let your heart die. Of course, it's re-emphasized in the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The following hadith is in Bukhari 2441 and Muslim 2768. That those who are not comfortable with their sins and their secret bad actions, they're not hypocritical, they're not comfortable with it, but they're just weak and they fell into it. But they continue to do their other duties as much as they can. And they constantly repent to Allah as much as they can, but they're still stuck with secret sins and then they die and on the day of judgment they rise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, surely on the day of judgment Allah will tell His servant to come closer to Him. When everybody's on the day of judgment, standing on this plane, on this earth, when the earth will be changed from what it looks like, and there will be no mountains, no valleys, no seas, nothing. The whole earth is changed. The sky is changed. وَبَرَزُوا لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. And on that day, everyone is displayed before Allah, the one and only, the overpowering. Nobody can run away. And the angels surround the entire population from the time of Adam alayhi salam till the end of this world. People want to escape and the angels draw them back inside. Today is the day of judgment, accountability, not the day of action anymore. You're going to watch yourself on a clip that will be played to each and every one of us. And the main character of this movie is you. You'll be watching you every single second that passed in your life. Among them will be the believers. The believers who had sins in secret in this life, which they felt bad about, and they continued to do their good deeds, and they had hope in Allah, and they didn't allow themselves and their hearts to just give in easily, yet they still had sins in secret. The Prophet ﷺ says, Allah will tell this person to come closer to Him by himself or herself, individually. Why? He says, فَيَضَعُ عَلَيْهِ كَنَفَهُ وَيَسْتُرُهُ. This person, Allah will cover him or her with something, and he will hide him from the eyes and the ears of everyone around him, including the angels. your parents, your children, your friends, the sheikhs, the people, the religious people, the kings, the queen, everybody, your siblings. And then Allah will say, here is your book. He will speak to you. Allah will speak to you with no interpreter. And He will say, here is your book, read it. And similar to this hadith is in Ahmad. So I'm going to join the two and make a bit longer. And then you read. And you see a hasana. One good deed that you did that nobody else knew about. It was between you and Allah. You see, Allah's watchfulness is also watching your good deeds too. Where everyone else didn't appreciate, but Allah appreciates it. Allah appreciates it. Did you know Allah's name is Ash-Shakur? The thankful one. The one who appreciates your good deeds, even though he gets nothing out of it. He appreciates it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it when His servants do good deeds. Why? Because that's who Allah is. So you see a good deed, and Allah says, you confirm? And you say, yes, Ya Rabbi, I confirm. And your face lights up. Nur, it lights up with happiness. Then Allah says, do you want to know? And you said, yes, Ya Rabbi, I want to know. And Allah says to you, I have accepted it. And the hadith says the person goes down in prostration immediately, does a sajda. Then Allah says, lift your head up, there's more. You read, then you come across a sin that you did in secret. Then the face goes darkened. You're miserable, you're scared. Allah says, do you confirm? You say, yes, Ya Rab, I confirm. And Allah says, do you want to know something? You say, what, Ya Rab? Yes, Ya Rab. Ya Rabbi. And He says, قَدْ غَفَرْتُهَا لَكْ, I've forgiven it. So then you make a sajda. Then Allah says, lift your head up, read. And then you come after another good deed. Same thing happens. Then you lift your head up, you read a sin. Then, same thing happens. The people from outside, they start to see you from a distance. Somehow, there's a transparency happening at that moment. But what do they see? All they see is you doing prostration and getting up, prostration and getting up. And the people say, Hani an lahu. How fortunate he or she is. Look at them. They've never done a sin in their life. Always making sajda, he or she is happy. Yet they don't know what the story is. And Allah gives him his book in the right, and he goes out and says, Ha umqra'u kitabiya. O people, come and read my book. Nobody wants to read your book. But that's how humans are. On that day, showing off is halal. That's the only place we show off. I am successful, I have won, not here, over there. Now is the time to work. Ha umqra'u kitabi. No one's listening. Everyone's turning away thinking, yeah, you got it all made. We're stuffed, we're still waiting. But you still shout it anyway because you're happy, you're excited, it's the best time, it's the best day you've ever experienced. You're going to paradise, inshallah, maybe. And then you start saying, I believed in this day, I was worshipping Allah, I had my faith in Allah, I didn't give in, I struggled, but I was patient, I persevered, I didn't give up, I didn't leave my salah, I didn't leave my zakah, I didn't leave my psalm, I didn't leave my hijab, I didn't leave my good deeds, I continued, yes, and my major sins I repented, I did them again, but I repented, I continued doing that, read. Nobody's listening, nobody cares, but you just talk about yourself all day, and you have that privilege, you have the right. You have the right of what? What's it called? Huh? Yeah, you have the right to boast, but there's another word for it teenagers use. Right to brag, bragging rights. Bragging privilege. You have a right. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among them. As for those who were hypocritical, disbelievers, and those who gave in to their sins and were comfortable with it and were okay with it and died upon it, they will not be covered. They will not be kept in secret. Everybody will know. They accepted it, they justified it, they showed it to the world, Allah will not hide them on the Day of Judgment. For those people, the Prophet ﷺ said, read from the Qur'an, recite if you will. وَأَمَّا الْكَافِرُ وَالْمُنَافِقُونَ Those who are hypocritical, those who are disbelievers, those who rejected, those who boasted, those who... فَيَقُولُ الْأَشْهَادُ The witnesses will say, هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا These are the ones who lied. عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ They lied to their Lord. What did they lie about? My Lord, I'm a Muslim, I believe in you, I will do good. Yes, or in front of the people, they acted certain ways. Behind their back, they disbelieved in Allah, they disobeyed. Or they justified their sin, they came out. I'm not Muslim anymore. I've been struggling with Salat all my life and I can't handle it. I'm coming out, makes a social media post. I've been wearing my hijab after she gets 10 million followers. Now Sa'adata tabda tatfassah. She comes up and he wants to say, I've been struggling with it, I took it off. You've all been loyal to me and really thank you, but it's me. You do you, I do me. And then they'll go, oh. Or others, they'll go, you betrayed us. We've been following you all this time thinking this is what you do. Social media influencers. Allah says, now you might say to me, you don't know what they're going through. No, I don't. You're right. But if you're going to put yourself on a platform and leadership and you make yourself an influencer of other people, you have to take responsibility. Get off. Allah knows your intentions. And everybody who follows you, you are the result. Men or women, it doesn't really matter. I'm not just picking on women. Anyone. On the Day of Judgment, these people who made themselves exposed here, they might feel good for a little while, but on the Day of Judgment, Allah will say to them, هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ These are the ones who lied about their Lord. أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ Behold, the curse of Allah is upon those who were oppressors. You realize when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about people who did so many bad things, Allah doesn't say the sinners. He says the oppressors. Who did they oppress? Themselves. Allah gave us this body, this time, this life, these faculties, and He told us everything. He told us there's a hidden camera. He told us what you were created for. He told us there is a Day of Judgment. He told us what to do and what not to do. He told us to be patient. He told us there is paradise. He told us there is hellfire. He told us to be patient. He gave us the Quran. He told us, come back to me. He said, I am there for you. He said, turn back to me. He said, He gave us the stories of the prophets and the messengers, how what they went through. He did everything, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we wrong ourselves. Oh, on the Day of Judgment, when a person says, كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ عَدَدَ سِنِينَ Allah says. They will gather each other. And the mujrimun, the criminals and the ones who oppress themselves, they say, How long were you in the earth for? Buried in the earth. قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ فَاسْأَلِ الْعَادِينَ Oh, it felt like a day or part of a day we were in our graves. Ask those who had count of this, meaning ask the angels, for example. Or ask the believers who used to tell us about this day. قَالَ إِلَّا بِثْتُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ Allah replies and says, oh, you were in there only for a very short time, if only you had known. Meaning, if only you had admitted and followed what I told you, that this day will come and that life is so short and it'll end like that. Like that, it could be tomorrow. Do you want to die on halal or haram? Do you want to die on worship or do you want to die on disobedience, my dear brother and sister? Depends on how you run your life. 50-50, you've got 50-50 chance. Which one? 70-30, you've got 70-30 chance. That's how it works. My brothers and sisters, so the Day of Judgment is like that, subhanAllah. Allahumma ja'alna min al-salihin wa ahshurna ma'a al-mu'mineen. Social media, I think, from the studies and research I've done personally, And I'm sure that you will agree with me. You just have to Google it a little bit and you will see all these different websites talking about addictions and social media harm and mental illnesses, mental health. Lots of studies have been done on it. I don't need to reference it. I need to source it. You just look at it, you'll find it. That this Gen Z, this current generation, and Gen Alpha now is on the rise, this generation is exposed to a world that never existed before. The entire world is at your fingertips. Studies have shown that on an average worldwide, Gen Z, which is between about the age of, 13, 15 to about 40, these people are the most users of social media. You know, your TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, the likes. Between 3 hours to 15 hours on average. And we all know how many use it at night when they go to bed. Now, there are people who use it for good things. There are people who use it for bad things. There are people who use it for a combination of things. There are people who use it to listen to Quran or to watch a lecture like this, which is amazing. But it depends where you look at it. On TikTok, it's 30 seconds to a minute. You scroll, something else comes up. What you need to do is create an algorithm that only pops up. If you can't leave it, make an algorithm that pops up on things that benefit. But even that, spending too much time on there is going to destroy your heart, your mind, and your health. Even if you're listening to lectures that benefit you, your body needs to sleep. You need to do other things. You need to act. You need to work. You need to give back. You need to work on yourself. Just sitting there listening, what's that going to do? We need to do. Allah says to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he first received the Quran, he heard it, it affected him, he sat in the house and shivered. Khadija radiallahu anha placed the blanket over him and she started to calm him down, counsel him. Radiallahu anha, his wife, his first wife, Khadija radiallahu anha, says, Allah will never betray you, ya Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah will never let you go. Wallahi la yughzik Allah. You are a person who gives to the orphans and look after the needy and you reconcile between people. And then he stayed there for a night or two and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the next verse down. Ya ayyuhal muzammil qum al-layla illa qalila. Oh, you who is blanketing himself. Don't just stay there. Okay, now get up. Qum al-layl. Start to pray in the nights. Because that's when the anxiety kicks in for some people. Because in the day, you're busy, you're distracted, the night comes, the thoughts come. So, these types of people want to find a distraction. Go on social media again. Why? To just distract. But then you find that your anxieties and your depression become worse. And I'll tell you in a minute why. So Allah tells the Prophet ﷺ, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Stay up in the night, except a bit, praying to Allah. Spend it in that. Why? Allah tells us that layl gives you calmness, gives him peace. That's if you can sleep in the day, a siesta, of course. But look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet ﷺ to do. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us that, one of the sunnahs Rasulullah ﷺ is to do is that after Isha, he would go to sleep. Unless he had something productive to do, to spend time with his wife, or to go to help someone, or to do something. But if there was nothing productive to do, he would go to sleep. Or he would stay at home with his family. And he used to say, فَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ. Now these days I say to you, stay at home, it's worse. We need to get out now, don't we? But here's the thing, brothers and sisters, be careful of social media in this sense. That as you're scrolling away, what percentage of haram do you see compared to the percentage of halal? On Instagram, on Snapchat for the younger people, on TikTok with the private DMs. If there's nothing constructive for you to do on social media, then what are the reasons that you go on? Ask yourself that question. And what is it actually doing to you? I'll tell you the first reason why we love to go back on social media and how it draws us in to stay on it for such a long time. By the way, as I'm talking, do you know, have a guess, any of you, the average age, or the earliest age now, the earliest age of a person being first exposed to pornography and nudity? What's the earliest age, do you think? 14? 15? Teenager? Less? Have a guess. These are real, I'm talking from real research studies. I just forgot the source. Huh? Eight years old. 8 years old. Either out of curiosity or out of what they heard at school or their friends or what they've seen on YouTube, even on YouTube for kids. There is this psychology they use from a very young age, because that's what social media is for. It's to draw you in, suck you in, and then give you advertisements and capitalize off you. Am I right or wrong? So you are the product. You are the product. Otherwise, no one survives on social media. Among the highest paid people are social media influencers. More than a neurosurgeon. More than an astronaut. Can you believe that? You are the product. So they've got to draw you in somehow. It's called classical conditioning, operant conditioning, all these words. And I'll tell you the first thing. People who feel lonely, they want to distract themselves. So they go on social media thinking that there's something there which will take away their loneliness by distracting them. But then they find that they go into a spiral of more loneliness, more anxiety, and more depression. What we are seeking is a false, intense pleasure. I'll tell you what I mean. We live in a world where everything is made to stimulate the maximum amount of pleasure possible. This is the world we live in today in the 21st century, 2024. Have you realized that the more we live on, the more technology grows? It's truly and honestly and really about stimulating your pleasure to the utmost. All right, so what does that mean? It means that there is a brain chemical that is released when you're about to do something you think is pleasurable, and it's called dopamine. That's what you want again and again. But it's not the dopamine itself that is making you pleasurable. The dopamine just comes in when you are about to do something which you consider pleasurable for yourself. Now, if this mu'min knows that Allah is watching, the angels are watching, there's a day of judgment, and constantly keeping themselves in touch with the Qur'an, with the verses of the Qur'an, with the salat, with the company of people who remind them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are sincere and loving to you, not the talk. There can be religious toxic people too, but I'm talking about those types of people. And you keep the zikr around your life, even if you do sins. This type of a person is less likely to always feel a complete comfort and pleasure with those things that they are seeking. You'll feel discomfort, and the memory stays, so you want more of that dopamine. And what social media does is that it hijacks our natural reward pathways. It tricks our brain into thinking we are about to do something so important for our survival that we have to go back to it. I need to survive. I need to cope. So social media shaitan side says, come, I will give you exactly what you're looking for. I look at that similar to the verse in the Quran about the shaitan. Allah says to Iblis, wa'idhum, give them false promises. وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. But the shaitan can never give you promises except deception. Now remember, I didn't say all social media is bad. Alhamdulillah, there's amazing. I think there's a miracle in there too. Especially with the awareness that's happened about Gaza and Palestine. That was blew my mind away, la ilaha illallah, the awareness for the future generation. Amazingly used. We use it for da'wah, calling people and teaching people about Deen Islam. We use it to teach people skills and knowledge. Amazing. But that's not the problem. Even with good stuff, spending too much time can destroy you, but we're talking about the other stuff. The stuff that you're looking for to give you pleasure, which is really false. So what happens to that is that you start having low self-esteem. What is self-esteem? It's your belief and opinion about yourself. That's what self-esteem is. What is your opinion and belief about yourself? A believer is honest with himself. A believer is sincere to Allah. Do you remember when I said that the scholars say, Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he says, in this world there is a paradise, whoever does not enter it will not enter the paradise of the hereafter. Do you remember that one? Ibn al-Qayyim, his student, writes a book in Madaraj al-Salikin. Madaraj al-Salikin is his book. He writes what these keys are. He calls them al-ikhlas wa-sidq. Ikhlas, absolute sincerity, and sidq, absolute honesty. What do they mean? Ikhlas in the Islamic terms means, in the Shari'i terms means, everything you do, your goal and purpose is seeking Allah alone. Your goal and purpose is that Allah is pleased with you. Your goal and purpose is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you. Your goal and purpose is only between you and Allah, not the people. Honesty is whatever you are inside, the way you think and believe, who you really are, you are honest with yourself. It's between you and yourself. It's to be real with yourself. Not try to mimic and manipulate yourself. And that's a true sign of a true believer. He says, alhamdulillah, you know, I've got this problem and I have to repent to Allah. The day is coming. Stop trying to convince yourself, you know, and work ways around it. So my brothers and sisters, your self-esteem, you go to the social media to raise that self-esteem because of this false image of, or this false perception of survival with this thing called seeking pleasure somehow or happiness, which is really not there. And then what do you find? You find three main things. You find many things, but these are the three main things that we all share. Wallahi, all of us, even social media content creators go through this. Whether you're a content creator for good or for bad, whether you're the person who is listening to or watching it for good or for bad, whether it's just pure entertainment, whatever you're doing it for, these are the three things that can happen to you and they are very dangerous. Number one, you find yourself in something called social comparison. You start compare. You can't help it, but start to compare yourself to others on social media. Yani, for example, if you talk about deen, Islam, religion, sharia, salah, angels, in the beginning all is good and fine, sincere and honest. As time goes on, there's something about the social media that just sucks you in. You start looking at people's comments. We all fall into it. Sometimes I catch myself. You know, we all fall into a human. Comments, the positives, the negatives. You start looking at views, you start looking at followers, and then you see other people's followers, other people's views. Whether it's about religion you're doing it, whether it's about some product you're advertising, a business, advice, whatever it is, you can't help but start comparing yourself to other people. How come this person's got more views than me? How come this person has got more followers than me? What is it I'm doing different that they're better? What? And you start comparing, and it becomes a rat race. And suddenly you find your sincerity and honesty has changed. And then you yourself, your self-esteem starts going down. You got to compete, you got to do better. So you look for the next comment, you look for the next view, you look for the next like, just to get yourself back into that pleasuring mode. Secondly is something they call, I think you've heard of that word, FOMO, fear of missing out. And this is mostly with younger people, or if you share a class, social media sort of, platform, with your mates at school or with your friends or at work or just in general. What happens to you in the beginning is all friendship and just to catch up with people and whatever, and then suddenly it drags you in. Before you know it, you're spending hours on it. Why? Thinking that you're missing out. fear of missing out on what's happening. What's the latest goss? What's the latest news? What's happening with so-and-so? Oh, suddenly you see your mate, your friend, looks so amazing, has achieved something, has produced something, puts their marks up, shares their story. And then you start looking at yourself and you think, man, I live a rubbish life. How come I don't have that? What? She's going out with her dad. Wish my dad was like that. What? Her mum bought her that. Oh, my mum doesn't buy it. I hate my mum. What? Siblings? Her brother is so hot. I wish my brother could be hot. All he does is swear at me. My life is bad. I live in a toxic family. Toxic! Block him off. Toxic fam, block him off. Why? Because he looked at others. And we came to that conclusion. Block, block, block. It's crazy, man. I know that some people do have toxic families, but that's not the majority. And everything has a management and a solution, inshallah. One day I'll talk about toxicities. But right now, one of the places to play a big role in trying to in making you feel so bad about your life is this FOMO business and comparison business on social media. If you like health, you like to build muscles, you like to look good, you like your face, you like to have glowing skin, you like your hair, you like your achievements, then you're going to go to those places where people are showing all that off. And you start thinking, where are my muscles? How come my skin's not the same? How come this? How come that? False world, man. False world. I hear it all the time. It's a fake world. It's a fake world. Fake, 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 fake. But they're saying it like something's going, like they're getting mental illnesses from it. Yeah. But you see, we're part of all that now. The fake world. We become fake ourselves. This is what we've got to be very careful of. And finally, idealized images. I just gave an example. Somehow, we know it's not true. And we say it to each other, right? I hear it from students all the time. They go, it's fake. It's collagen. It's lip, I don't know what. It's eye thing. It's blah, blah, blah. I don't know. It's a filter. I don't know all those words, forgive me. It's bussin. It's riz. Yeah, I've got kids myself, we all have. You know what I'm saying? Let him cook. Unbelievable. No cap. Brothers and sisters, but really, I mean, that's just a bit of a humor, but, you know, it's amazing with social media how it's become. Now, I love this brother. What's his name, the one that did that? What's his name? Kabi. Yeah, mashallah, you know, he's a memorizer of the Quran, I heard. Tabarakallah, very nice. He loves his deen on salat, so I'm not talking about him, but I'm talking about how social media works. That... Yani, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless his wealth and everything. But from that, he's a millionaire. You know, I remember my dad used to do when I was a kid. Is Aisha here there? Huh. I thought my dad'd be a millionaire right now. So like that, look, huh, I just did that. Someone else gets billions of followers because they lip-sung something. Was that in the media? They lip-singing? Just moving their heads and wobbling it in a certain way, suddenly they're billionaires. Somebody slips, ha ha, the millionaires, goes viral. What has the world come to? We're getting dumber and dumber. And it's like when we're watching it, it's like, let me copy that, but it's like dumb and dumber. Dumb and dumber. It's like the students doing their exam. They've never studied, right? So they look at their others. See, what is he doing? So he starts copying them. Right? He copies it. The one he copied gets a lower mark than the one who copied him. Dumb and dumber. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So scrolling through actually does destroy the neuron channels in our brains. Did you know that? Lessens our skills, lessen our ability to be critical thinkers, lessen our ability to learn and create. And those people who are doing it and sucking us in, they're not on social media, man. They're just doing it for us to be zombies on it. So brothers and sisters, let me explain something. How do you get out of it? Now, if I go and tell you, stop social media, you're going to say, look at this guy, he lives on another planet. I'm not going to tell you to stop social media. In fact, I use social media. Not before, but now, only because our sheikhs, and I remember Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi, he said, he was one of the earliest who thought outside the box, and he said, you should be competing and making traffic on social media with good da'wah, with teaching people the right thing. Don't leave it to them. So that's why I went on. But even with that, here's one thing you can do. First of all, start taking breaks. Very easy. Start taking breaks. At first it'll be hard. Some people who are social media influencers, they say, we take 30 days break twice a year. 30 days. And what happens to them is they say, hold on a minute. All these followers, all these people who want me to make new content, they're waiting. I can't stay 1 month off. And then, you know, your brain tells you, but if I don't go back on, I'm going to lose my followers, I'm going to lose my... No, 30 days later, comes back, does new content, same thing. Nothing's happened to them, inshallah. But what happens to you is that you get refreshed. It's amazing how much you've restricted your ideas, your innovation, your creativity by constantly going on social media and scrolling. Content creator or the one who is taking. Give your brain a break. Number two, you should not be on your social media maximum more than 2 hours a day, and I'm not talking about 2 hours straight. And that's for beneficial things. And a little bit of entertainment, nothing wrong with that. Halal entertainment as much as you can. Be very careful with it though. The problem now is people get stuck with certain addictions. Sexual addictions. Man, they are the worst. And those types of addictions, they transform from an image to videos, clips, to then creativity. You get bored of the same thing over and over again. And then you want something more dramatic, more outrageous, more out of this world. There are tremendous researches done on this. And then you go after that to things that are sick. I don't want to say what they are, we're in the masjid. But I can tell you that families were destroyed apart because these people started to watch these sick things. People who are supposed to be mahrams, their brain goes everywhere. They become sick. Then after that, you want the real thing. And that's when people start going to those places. They want the real thing. Ah, hold on. They said to me, I can go on Snapchat. There's that guy on there, there's that girl on there. We'll just talk. Especially those introverts, because they can't go face to face. They go online. I'm not saying even go to face to face, but they go online. Talk, keep going. Why not? Images are okay for me, so long as it's real. Images, clips, nudity, young, teenagers, old. People start going further and further and further and further. In my days, back in the 80s, when I was in the 90s, when I was in year 7, year 8, year 9, if there was a Muslim girl in our school, hijab or no hijab, she's Muslim, no one dared to touch her or flirt with her. You'll find 10 Muslim guys jumping this person. Nobody would touch them. And they were the most valuable. Now, Allah al-Musta'an, what has happened to us? And there's abuse online, sexual abuse. Send me a picture. Let's go more. They share it with their friends, especially boys. I read once this statement. I forgot where, but it has some truth to it. They said, let's get things straight. Men like to look at. Women like to be looked at. Men like to look at, women like to be looked at. And then from here you can understand how abuse can happen. And then threats, and then defamations, then exposing, then. And this is how the shaitan comes to him. Where did it come from? Social media. All on social media. Now, I don't want to talk too much about it. We've got kids here, we're in the masjid, but I think you all understand what I mean. Why? When social media has so much good in it. Each individual has to monitor themselves. And the best thing is, you can't just change your apps. It doesn't work. You can't just disable your apps. It's coming from this. So you've got to keep this far away from you and use it only when you need it. If you relapse and get back to it, then repent to Allah and start putting it away from you. Go to bed and put it outside, ya akhi. Put it in the kitchen. But I need my alarm. Find another way. Find another way. Ask your parents, how did we do it? We suffered. We didn't have these alarms with us. You'll find a way. Keep your door open in the bedroom if you're a teenager. Let your parents come past. It'll help you, inshallah. Especially at night. I used to see students come to school in the morning, their eyes bloodshot red. I was studying. What were you studying? Biology, sir. Yeah. Anatomy. Yeah, what kind? My dear brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lift the burdens off our ummah, off our youngsters. Wallahi, this generation, this youth, they are so innovative and creative. I haven't seen so many young people in the masjid like we see in the last 10 to 20 years. I've never seen this many young people representing goodness, deen, and teaching others and being innovative online and in social media. They are becoming leaders, alhamdulillah. And they can do tremendous things that our parents and my generation could not do. But they pave the way for you. And I have great hope in our young people. But your mental health, your heart, your spiritual health, your iman, your identity has to be intact if you're going to get somewhere. And wallahi, my heart goes out to you. It's not easy. The challenges are huge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy on you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins and yours. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our shortcomings. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve our brothers and sisters in Gaza. Look after the orphans. Brothers and sisters, whatever you can send to them, send through any trusted, honest charity organization. Alhamdulillah, I've been going around with MATW, Muslims Around the World, and other organizations, alhamdulillah, are doing great jobs. But these are one of them, for example, and be going around. They've got 12,000 orphans, for example, that they are looking after, alhamdulillah, and creating more awareness and help. And these young people, inshallah, will be the future, inshallah ta'ala, and so will you. Brothers and sisters, do things. Continue to do what pleases Allah and that which develops you. Don't just sit on this scrolling away and letting your brain cells die. I hope, inshallah ta'ala, that this lecture tonight at least played a role in 1 or 2% of that first step towards that long journey. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist you, protect you, raise you, forgive you, and all of us. Wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.